Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 165. I'm your host this week, Mike, and tonight it's just Benny with me. Hi, Benny.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
Good, good. You burning off all that turkey and Christmas food?
I'm feeling a little weighted down. How about you?
I'm good. Round as ever.
Round as ever. Excellent. Well, why don't you get us started with what you did this week in guns?
So this week I actually went shooting. Actually, it was on Sunday. We are recording later this week, but that's fine, I guess. It all works. It works for me. So I actually went shooting on Sunday. A little bit of prep before next Sunday, which I have when I have my 3-gun in Guelph, so that's going to be fun.
That sounds exciting.
Yes, it is exciting. It's indoors. I almost convinced Malkadina to let me go get a whole bunch of Agula mini shells.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I only have the Uzcon, and it doesn't run so well with the Winchester white box. I did get some Challenger stuff, which hopefully will run better. If not, I'll just borrow Gavin's shotgun, because I know my stuff works in his. He's got a really nice auto order, and I don't know what he tricked out there, but it's...
He has the Versamax, I think?
I think so.
Remington Versamax.
Yeah, I think so. It runs the cheap ammo really nicely, so it's almost worth it.
Yeah.
And I did really well at the charity shoot. So if I have to suffer and use someone else's gun, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I did pick up some Challenger shot shells at sale when they had their 20% off everything in the store, even ammo, which is a rarity.
That's good.
Yeah. Got a bunch of new stuff on the website. Speed loaders for 9mm. Speed loaders for rifle mags, so that's everything from actually just like SM sub machine gun stuff too. So it does everything from 9 to 7.62x39, I think it is.
Okay, it'll work on more than just pistol mags. It'll also work on like your pistol caliber carbines that aren't using that are using proprietary mags.
So I'm guessing that those are probably using like a double stack, but all the way to the top system. Like most pistol mags, even if they are double stack, they come to a point where there's only one being fed at a time.
Yeah.
So those would only work. Those would work on the pistol speed loader, and then the rifle speed loader will work on the proprietary pistol caliber carbines.
Okay.
Yeah. So the one that's going to work on everything is only going to work on stuff that will feed from right and left side of the bolt rather than pistols that only feed directly from the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although I did find out that they do not work with STI 9mm mags, so I have to try and see if they do work with anything else that's single stack, because they do say on their website that it works with single stack and double stack, but I've only had access so far to the SDI mags, and they didn't work, so.
Oh. Well, you take them to your 3-gun match, I'm sure there's a bunch of people there that will gladly let you load their magazines for them.
I sent a message the other day to Andrew and Gavin, and I'm like, guys, I don't care if you're bringing the guns or not, bring every kind of magazine you own. And they're like, yeah, sure, why not? So, it's gonna be a fun day of just loading mags.
Oh, yeah.
In like 2 seconds flat, hopefully, if I can get it to run properly. Yeah. It's a pistol one, you need to play with it a little bit. And a lot of their negative reviews on Amazon, I think, are because people didn't take the time to like try and make it work. They just, it didn't work, so now I'm not going to use it kind of thing.
Yeah, people who say, oh, it doesn't work right out of the box, so it's not worth the money. Okay.
Yeah.
So those are up for sale on your website right now?
Yeah, they are. So they're going for, if I remember correctly, $42.99. Don't know my own products. yeah, I think they're going for that. And then I also have Glock magazines, or they're not Glock. They're ETS 9mm 10-round Glock mags, and they're going for $34.99, and yeah, the speed loaders are going for $42.99, and then we have some Hunt Shield M-locks, the combination kind, going for $10.99, so.
Okay, and those Glock mags, those are the clear ones, right?
Yeah, clear. So, okay. Pretty cool, I think, anyways.
Okay, those are like full body mags that are just pinned to 10 as opposed to mags that have been, I don't know how to describe it. Like, have you seen M&P magazines where they, like, cut off the bottom and they put that giant plastic base pad thing on?
Oh, yeah. So they did, like, they did the same thing with the original Jericho mags. So, you know, these use the a different system. They have an extra bit of spring in there that when compressed, it just compresses to 10 rounds.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure. Honestly, I've loaded it like to capacity, and I don't know why it. Because it looks like the regular length of magazine, right? But for whatever reason, it just only fits 10 bullets. It's really weird.
Okay.
I'll have to compare it to like a. I guess I'll go to the States sometime and actually compare it to a full blown, Glock mag. But
yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and we're hopefully going to be getting, like, for Hanukkah, I got a Maple Ridge rock solid with muzzle brake. Well, it's actually the one I'm testing, but I finally got paid for it, and hopefully I'll be putting up more of Maple Ridge Armory stuff up on the website. So that's hopefully coming soon.
Okay. So what's the rock solid one? I know they have different muzzle brakes.
Right. So they have three muzzle brakes. They have the not muzzle brakes. They have three muzzle devices. The Trident, which is a flash diverter. And then they have the, brain fart here. I forget what the other one's called. It's not the rock solid, it's the Defiant. Sorry. Yeah. The Defiant. And then they have the Trident. So the Trident is just a flash suppressor. It just diverts your muzzle flash. The Defiant is a brake. And then the rock solid one is it's the brake. It's the creme de la creme. Let's just put it that way. It works really well.
That's good.
If you look at my article, you'll see. I think there should be a chart in there showing roughly how it compares to the other ones, both A2 and without anything on the end of your barrel. So, yeah. Mike, what did you do? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. Got to see a lot of family. You know, you don't see it often. Realized Sarah and I hadn't ventured out of our little corner of Ontario for almost 4 months, so it was a long drive to get out of here. But everything was good. Didn't get to do any shooting, though. I did send my Vortex Red Dot back in to Vortex in Guelph. They received it, looked it over, replaced it, and shipped it back all on the same day, so turnaround time was really fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to actually go pick it up. So the fact that they replaced it, I have confidence that it's going to work now. So that's good.
Did they fix it, replace it, or refurbish it? Which one?
They said it said replaced on the email they sent back.
Okay.
So
you have to go, where do you have to pick it up from?
I have to pick it up from the post office.
Oh, okay, phew. I was going to say, Guelph's a long drive.
Yeah, it's a little long. No, it was good. I mean, for Vortex, I paid for the shipping there. They paid for the shipping back.
Okay, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. I bought a whole whack of Federal small pistol primers, thanks to Estienne. He knew that I was looking for the primers, and he sent me a flyer. So not only did the place have the primers, they had them on sale. I now have another 10,000 primers.
That's a good number to have.
It's a nice round number to have.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And then outside that, I tried to borrow a gun. Didn't go so well, though. So I have a match coming up in January down in Pennsylvania. And I am waiting for my 6NIA form to come back so I can bring my revolver down to shoot.
Okay.
I still haven't gotten it back yet, so I'm starting to get a little worried that it's not going to come back in time. So I asked one of the other guys that's going, is your revolver on your 6NIA? He said, yeah, mine's already on there. So I asked him if I could borrow it. If mine doesn't come in time, can I borrow your revolver for the match? So he said, yeah, sure, no problem. He said, why don't you just take it now? And that way you have, you know, a month to play with it and see how you like it and get used to it. And that way, you know, if you have to use it, then, you know, you're ready for it. It's not going to be a brand new gun on game day.
Yeah.
So I called up the CFO to try and do a temporary borrow. And everything was going fine. And then the person asked, oh, when are you picking it up? I said, oh, I'm picking it up on Friday. And he said, when are you bringing it back to them? I said, you know, the 20th of January. Well, apparently, according to the CFO's office in Ontario, they've changed, I don't know, the rules on borrowing, and you're no longer allowed to borrow a gun for more than a weekend.
What?
That is what the person said. And she actually went, like, she, you know, put me on hold and went away and, I guess, talked to someone else and asked them about it. And that's what they came back with.
Okay.
So I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because if Sarah and I were having some sort of marital dispute, and we said, you know what, we just want to get the gun out of the house just to make things safer.
Yeah.
Okay, so Benny, you can borrow my gun for the weekend, but hopefully we don't get in a fight Monday to Friday. You know, or how about I transfer my guns to you so that you'll legally own them? Oh, that only takes about, what, 2 months right now in Ontario to transfer a gun?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So that is the, yeah. I wasn't going to argue with them. It was right before Christmas, so I wasn't going to argue with them and get in a fight with them right before then. And I figure I'll just wait until the new year and try and borrow it again. And the guy I'm borrowing it from said, you know, don't worry about it. If you have to borrow it for a weekend and bring it back, then that's fine. But
yeah, I was going to say, call back again and see, like, try and make sure it's a different person and then ask again.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on their end, but this person was, you know, when I first told them, you know, for a month, they kind of hemmed and hawed, and then they said, hold on a second, I have to go ask someone something, right? And they came back, and that's the ruling that they came back with, so. I know, the
CFO.
Yeah, dealing with the CFO, always a good time.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, dealing with people at the range. I went to the range, and there was a guy there spouting off, or not, I'm pretty sure he was spouting off. Pretty sure it was actually the same range officer that I went there the other time. He was saying that, oh, you have to take apart your single actions completely before you're allowed to go down range. And then getting upset at people when he changed the flag. And then they started going down range, you know, because it's safe. And he said, no, you're not allowed to go down range. I didn't say the range is safe. But then why did you change the flag? I don't know. He seems very new and uninformed.
No, you can't go on a green light until I say you can go on the green light.
Exactly. So then he's got some guys there and he's doing probationary shoots with them. And he's like, okay, so I'm going to, you know, give you a little test. What happens if a cop stops you and then, you know, asks to see what's in your case? And I'm like, well, if it's a traffic stop, you really shouldn't be going through your car. It's a traffic stop, not a searching, you know, not supposed to be searching your car. And he's like, oh yeah, if you want to do that, you know, and then, you know, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. He waits for them to answer, and they're trying to answer, and they don't have an answer. He's like, it's just a trick question. You're not allowed to open your case unless you're, you know, you're at the range or at a gunsmith or somewhere else. And I'm like, really? You're telling them the ATP is your permission to open your gun case? I don't think the guy was, knows what's flying, but, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember hearing this thing before, and I think the argument was, or the argument that I heard was that police officers aren't firearms officers or something like that. Like, there's a different class. But then I also heard that I think all RCMP and at least OPP are considered firearms officers. So they could all check.
So basically, if you get stopped at a highway, it's going to be the OPP because it's provincial highway.
Yeah.
And they're going to check. Wonderful. Yeah, I know. Don't take your legal advice from random guys at the range, even if they are wearing orange sweaters.
But it's so shiny.
Yeah, no.
I like how he blows over the whole, you know, search and seizure thing, needing a warrant.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, you're not going to argue. Like, if you want to argue that, I'm like, okay. And then he turns it around and is like, yeah, but, you know, it's illegal to open. No, it's not. There's nothing that says you're not allowed to open your gun case. Yeah. Particularly if a police officer's asking you to open your gun case.
Yeah. We're not advocating you open up your gun cases on the side of the road when you're changing your tire just to admire, you know, what you're supposed to go shooting instead of you're changing a tire. But if under the direction of a police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't think I'm renewing my range membership. I think I have another 4 days to fix that, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, your membership is first of the year?
Yeah, it's per till January, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Okay, Mike, what's the main topic?
So the main topic this year is, well, it's New Year's. Well, it's not New Year's yet. Actually, I don't know when this show is going to come out. It's either New Year's is about to happen or just happened. You decide based on when you listen to this episode. So anyways, it's the new year, and it's you know, the classic time to set goals for this year, for 2018. I normally don't put a lot of stock in setting New Year's goals. To me, you know, New Year's is just an arbitrary date. Like, why not do this on July 1st? But anyways, but since we're talking about shooting stuff, and here in Canada, in the wintertime, it's kind of the off-season, so it would kind of make sense that your year-long goals would start and end in the off-season. So, picking a goal. Before we even get really started on what your goal is, you're going to have to decide, you know, is your goal a lifestyle change, like quitting smoking, which, in a sense, it's a never-ending goal, because you need to start somewhere, but you're always going to struggle with not smoking. Or is it going to be a short-term goal? So something like buying yourself the latest, or for some people, the oldest gun. Once you reach it, there's really nothing more to do but enjoy the fruits of your labor. Some short-term goals can also extend into long-term goals. So by not eating out for lunch, maybe you're able to afford that new goal. You know, why go back to eating out every day when you could, you know, maybe buy yourself another toy or just save up some more money. So when picking your goals for 2018, remember that this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. So with that said, you shouldn't run 100 marathons at once. You'll lose track of them. So be realistic about what you can achieve. You're probably not going to win the Tour de France this year, but you could actually get out on your bike and ride once a week to get in better shape. So it's about taking steps towards, you know, maybe a larger goal. And last, make sure it's something that you really want. If you try to run every day because you're special, someone made a comment about the number of belt notches that you've gone through this year, you know, you're not going to be motivated to keep up with your goal for an entire year. But if your goal is to cut down sweets because you want to fit into your favorite suit in time for a wedding in the summer, you're more likely to stick to it because you actually want to do it. So a good way to determine if your goal is really important to you, you could write down why you want to achieve it. How many reasons can you come up with? Are the reasons for your benefit or for others? And if you can convince yourself that this is what you really want to do, then it's probably good for you.
So, Mike, what are your goals?
Thanks for asking, Benny.
No problem.
So I kind of wrote down three shooting goals for this year. So one of them is to make master in IDPA. Another one is to make a B class in I-Corps. And three is to run more matches in this upcoming year. So what goals do you have, Benny?
So mine aren't all firearm related. But my first one is to get better with my Jericho. I've only ever shot at paper with my Jericho at seven yards. And I'm not completely happy with my shooting at 7 yards, but hopefully I can do enough dry fire. As I just mentioned, I don't have a range membership for next year, but hopefully I can do enough dry fire, and consistent dry fire to, which is also my second one, practice more dry fire, to get better with my Jericho, and maybe I can either A, get more consistent at 7 yards, and maybe even push it to something a little further. And then my third goal is something that's not firearms related. I've set myself goals in the past to try and, you know, lose weight and look and be more healthy. And I think it's just, I want to try and work out consistently. So whether that's 3 times a week or, you know, every day in the week, I want to be able to say that I'm doing something consistently, and it's not consistent monthly, but more on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
That's my goals.
That's good. Out of curiosity, why have you never shot your Jericho further than 7 yards?
Just because the easiest place to shoot at Silverdale is at the action range, which is 7 yards. Most of their other bays are 25 or 50 meter or longer, and they used to be both, but now they're rifle only. They do have a 25 meter pistol range, but it's off to the side, and I've never really gone there, and yeah, it's always more fun to just shoot it, blast away at the seven yards.
Yeah. Yeah, I assume the 25 yards more like a bullseye range. Like, you can't go closer.
Yeah. Well, they're actually, all their ranges are pretty much fixed. You have to shoot from the bench, and they just have either 20 stuff set up at either 25 or 50, or only at 50, or 100 and 200. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not like you can move your shooting line. You're pretty much stuck with whatever the set distance is there.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not like some ranges, like indoor ranges, where you can set your target closer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I seem to remember a couple of years ago, some ruling came down from the CFO, because we used to move our back at my old club, we used to move our targets closer to us if you didn't want to shoot 25 yards. But I guess there was some ruling came down that target stands have to stay at the berm. So if you want to shoot less than 25, you have to walk up to it.
Yeah, that is the current ruling.
Yeah. All right, so now that we have kind of rough goals laid out, we should set like an actual goal. So no vagueness, like I want to lose weight or I want to shoot more. You need to have a specific measurable goal with the real end date. You may just want to lose weight this year, but unless you have a number and a date associated to your goal, when did you reach it? If your goal was just to lose weight, well then skip a meal, step on the scale, and proclaim your goal complete for the year. So, write down
basically what... Basically, don't do anything I just said.
Well, this was supposed to be a process, right? I want the listener to see the process that we're going to go through for how we're going to pick our goals.
I see. And look at that. I didn't scroll down and talk. Mike did just that.
So write down what form of measurement you're using to determine if you've reached your goal, if it's in pounds, if it's in round down range, or making master in IDPA. Make sure that you have a quantifiable measurement attached to the goal. So determine when you can realistically reach your goals. I'm not going to make master in IDPA in April because I won't shoot much between now and then. You can make your end date a little further off than you think. I may give myself all year to get to master, even though I know I probably won't run a classifier in December. But if that's how long it takes, then I just might run one in order to reach my goal. So on the topic of setting your timeline, you should also designate performance goals along the way. You need to learn to celebrate milestones along the way and make sure that you're on track, and to remotivate yourself on those marathon goals. Once again, they should be specific, measurable, and have a date associated with them. Make sure that your goal is positive, and remember Yoda in writing it down. Do or do not, there is no try. Don't try to lose 20 pounds, lose 20 pounds. So, Benny, how are you going to quantify your goals that you set out earlier?
So, first goal of getting better with my Jericho, keep all the shots on an 8x11 piece of paper at 25 meters. So, basically being able to call my shots at 25 yards would be amazing, but being able to keep them on paper at 25 yards is something that I don't think I'm capable of doing yet, but I know I can do.
Okay, that's great. That's very quantifiable. And when are you hoping to have that accomplished by?
By the charity shoot, I think. I think that's kind of I'm probably biting off more than I can chew, just because I don't know if I'll have enough opportunities to actually pull a trigger with ammo between now and then.
Yeah.
A lot, but hopefully I'll be able to do something, and we can revisit this at that time.
Yeah.
When I finally make that.
Yeah.
That's 10 shots, all in 8x11 at 25 meters.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And what about your dry fire goal?
So my dry fire goal should be simple. I don't know if it will be. Something I'll probably just have to, like everything else, discipline and push myself to do. But 15 minutes a week of dry fire practice.
Okay.
I'm not the kind of guy who can just like sit there for 15 minutes and probably do it, but 3 sessions of 5 minutes a week should be able to should be more manageable, and but get me to push myself to actually have the discipline to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, if you find that either that's, you know, maybe every time you go to dry fire you find yourself doing it twice as long, then that's fine. You can adjust some of these goals as we go. We will find out what is more realistic. As long as you don't just say, you know, in a couple of months, say, it wasn't realistic for me to dry fire at all. I'll just dry fire for 15 minutes a month.
Yeah, I know. Right. No.
Yeah. And what about your last goal about working out more consistently?
So I think setting a goal of 10 minutes 4 times a week is manageable. My proper goal is 40 minutes a week. I think splitting it down to 10 minutes makes it very manageable.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a lot more manageable. It also makes it easier if, you know, you just have 10 minutes before you go to bed and you forgot to do your workout. You can always run up and down the stairs, right?
6 flights of stairs.
Yep. It might take you more than 10 minutes the first couple of times, but I'm sure you'll get it down to 10 minutes in no time at all.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So what about you?
My quantifying is I'm saying that I'm going to make master an IDPA and stock service revolver in 2019. And kind of hand-in-hand with that is make B-class shooter and I-Corps and classic division by 2019. And the reason why I said, like, I'm being specific enough to say stock service revolver, classic division, is I have a drifting eye when it comes to looking at new toys. So I want to make sure that my year's goal don't involve, you know, jumping ships halfway through. You know, I don't want any excuse of, oh, well, I changed gun, I didn't know it, and I had to relearn the platform. No, I pretty much... The only give I'm giving myself is if I find that the GP100 isn't a good stock gun and I want to switch to like the Smith & Wesson, that's about all I can do. So it's to help keep me from having a wandering eye.
That's good.
Yeah. And then my last one is run. So I said I want to run more matches. So I want to run at least 2 IDPA matches and 1 multi-gun match this year as a match director and using practice score. And I want to have that done by August 1st.
Nice.
Yeah, so I want to get in that because, you know, I'd like to run possibly more than 3 matches this year, but I want to make sure I at least get those 3 in so I can get the experience that I feel I need in order to become a better match director.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, I might be coming to Ottawa, you know, around Passover time. I don't know. We'll see. But I have an invitation, so... Yeah, we'll be in touch when I'm around, when you should host those matches.
Yeah. Well, you're always welcome up here.
Thanks. And of course, you're always welcome here. Just the range in the shooting opportunities, in the GTA are a little sketchy at best.
I was going to say, I hear there's gunshots all the time at Jane and Finch.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't frequent that range often.
That's what we call a two-way range.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that you know what your goal is, and when you're going to achieve it, and you've set up some checkpoints along the way, we need to determine what you actually need to do to achieve those goals. So what do you need to do to achieve your goal? My goal of becoming a master shooter? I need to dry fire more. You know, how much, how often do I need to live fire practice more? How much, how often? You know, do I need some more instruction? Do I need to buy some more equipment? Now, I hate the idea of suggesting to people that, you know, you might have to buy equipment in order to reach a certain goal because, you know, and I've fallen into this trap before. You get into this idea that if I just buy this one more doodah, this one more, you know, accessory, I'll be better. And in some cases, you might need it in order to reach your goal. If your goal is to shoot 5 IDPA matches, you know, you're going to need a handgun, you know, and unless you have some seriously amazing friends that will lend you a handgun for 5 matches. So in that case, you might need to actually buy something. But otherwise, I always say try and improve yourself, not your gear. If your goal is to lose 20 pounds, you don't have a scale, well, that's something that you know you're going to need to buy. So there's a good example of, you know, equipment that you need in order to measure your progress. Once you've figured out what you need to do to reach your goal, start including it in your timetable. So dry fire 3 times a week and live fire once a week. You know, jog 1 kilometer a week and keep on track of your progress. Are you on track and are you keeping up? A good way to keep on track is to find like-minded people. They may be trying to make C-Class and IPSC and you're trying to make Master and IDPA, but you will inevitably motivate each other and keep each other moving forward. Also, with someone else by your side, it makes the process much more enjoyable. Another good way to keep a good way to keep on track is a reminder in visible places you go often. So on the home page of your phone, sticky on your bathroom mirror, read it out loud every time you see it. The more often you think about it, the more likely you are to keep up the small processes that will lead to big gains. So what I need to do to achieve my goals, so 1 and 2 are tied together. They're, I guess you could almost say, virtually the same. My plan is I'm going to dry fire for 20 minutes at least 3 times a week. I'll live fire practice once a week when the weather gets better, because I know that I'm just going to be miserable if I go out on a day like today when it's minus 20 before the wind chill. So there's no point in me discouraging myself by doing that. And then I want to take at least 1 training course, hopefully before July. Now, I know I said no vagueness, but the reason why I said hopefully before July is because taking another rifle course won't help me in IDPA shooting a revolver. So there's no point in me spending my money and time doing that. I'd be better off waiting for a pistol course or something like that to come up. So hopefully before July, I'll get out to at least one more handgun course. And then to go along with my what I need to do for running 3 matches this year, some things are I need to confirm the dates and availability of the ranges for the matches with my gun club and with the pistol director. I need to come up with some state designs. I need to find volunteers, and I need to research multi-gun rules. I know I kind of ran a shotgun pistol match, but I kind of made up we're kind of making up rules as we go. So I'd like to research more official sets of rules. And, so those are just some of the things that I need to do, and I will put them into a calendar for a timeline. So I know when I will have all these things done. And like I said, these are the small steps that lead to the bigger gains. So Benny, what do you feel like you need to achieve your goals?
So in order for me to achieve my goals, I have to take away any distraction. Basically, all my goals are things that I don't really need anything to do. I just have to go and do them. So really, it's just a discipline issue. I have done in the past stuck to a schedule and said, okay, at 7:30 every evening, I'm going to go work out. And I managed it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but then holidays happen or some other pretty lame excuse comes up, and then it's like, well, I'll start again when X happens or when Y happens. And what really I should be saying is, no, I gotta go do that now. So I really gotta just set the time to dry fire. That will help both with my shooting Jericho at long distances and just my goal of setting more dry fire practice. I gotta set the time aside and actually use it. And again, with the run, with the working out consistency, whether it's running, whether it's calisthenics, saying at 7:30, I'm going to work out, whether it's, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, it doesn't make a difference. It's gotta get done, and now's the time, and I gotta go do it.
Yeah. One thing I found is I put reminders on my phone to do things, right? So maybe it's a dry fire or something like that. And, you know, the alarm goes off when you're at the in-laws or something like that. You're not going to go dry fire. You don't even have a gun with you to go dry fire. And it's okay to skip it. But that alarm will still go off the next day and the day after, so that you'll still have that constant reminder to get out there and keep up on that discipline.
Right.
Yeah. But that kind of leads us right into the next part. So make preparation. It's almost like you knew.
But I didn't, because everyone knows I don't read the show notes before the show.
So make preparations for bumps in the road. I didn't say make plans for failure. You're not queuing up the excuses for why you gave up or why it's not your fault, why you didn't make your goals. If this goal was that easy, then it wouldn't be a goal. Getting on a treadmill once is easy. Getting on it every week is harder. With that all said, there are times when you may not complete the process, aka no dry fire tonight because you're sick. You may not be able to run 5 kilometers by July. The key in all of this is not to focus on the bad, only focus on the good. You dry fired for twice as long when you were healthy again. You did run 4.5 kilometers. Remind yourself why you are doing this. Remember that piece of paper when you wrote down your goals on it? Why are you doing it? Go read it. Read it again. Add some new reasons and read it again. Stumbling along the way is not failing. You won't fail until you give up. So, and then last part I have here is keep yourself accountable and don't give up. So one of the hardest parts of your goal is going to be keeping your eyes on the prize. This is where that daily reminder comes in real handy. A sticker on the bathroom mirror, reminders on your phone, or even a habit tracker, which will be a regular reminder of things you need to do each day to keep you moving towards your goal. Remember, it's not the goal you want to keep reminding yourself of, it's also the reasons why you want to get there. A good way to keep yourself accountable is to tell people your goals. They may have no vested interest if you lose weight or not, but guaranteed once in a while they'll ask how you're doing and you will have to answer them. This should sound like public shaming yourself into achieving your goals, but I've never found that when things get rocky, I've lost sight of my goals. It's a good reminder to push forward, and when I am on the path of success, it's a moral booster to tell others of the strides you've made. And don't take shortcuts. I'll run 5 kilometers tomorrow, so I'll cash in on that reward today. It's not acceptable. We don't get ribbons for participating. Either you reach your checkpoints or goals, or you didn't. Don't take shortcuts. So, Benny, how do you plan on keeping yourself accountable?
Probably just letting my wife know. And then, like you said, setting reminders on my phone. Having an alarm going off every morning at 7 o'clock saying, get out of bed, go dry fire before starting my day. Setting an alarm in the evening, okay, go work out. And then you can go shower and go to bed.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, that's good.
Letting the wife know also helps.
Yeah. Wives can be very good motivators. So using an app that tracks how often that I do certain activities throughout the week. So for me right now, it's tracking my dry fire. I'm just testing it out right now. I'm also going to write down on the calendar my checkpoints with reminders to ensure that I'm staying on the correct path. That's my plan for keeping accountable. And that all kind of leads into this last part, final thought. So with all that said, I am proposing that we do a quarterly checkup this year on our progress of our New Year's resolutions we've made, so you can see our progress. I encourage anyone who has goals this year right into the show, and we will all keep each other motivated and accountable. I know it's scary to announce to the internet what you want to accomplish this year, especially if things slide off the track, and not to sound like a bad student counselor, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Any other thoughts, Benny?
No, but telling yourself you're going to do it is great, but telling yourself you're going to do it again is better. That also sounds pretty lame. Yeah, I don't know what it was. But I just keep going, thinking in my mind, going back to when I managed, I don't know what I was doing, but I managed to, for like months, go every evening to the workout room, and I walked / ran for 2 kilometers, and I managed it for quite a while, and then I don't know what happened, so.
Yeah.
I guess I probably got sick or something, and that just threw me off. So the consistency and pushing through is really important.
Yeah. And it's okay to take a night off if you're sick, right? But as long as you get back on the horse when you get better.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we said this was going to be a short episode, and it is. So we're just going to skip events for tonight. We have no listener email, so please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. iTunes, Stitcher, we have no new ones. Facebook likes?
Still 1,300.
Still 1,300. That's good.
Yeah. I just checked. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, so we've reached the 1,300 mark, so that's good.
Good job, Mike. Yeah. You really bring in those listeners.
It's a nice round number. I like it. Closing comments. So again, send us your goals and we will all keep track of them together and we'll motivate each other throughout the year. Benny, do you have any shout outs?
Shout outs. Well, obviously to my wife, more than usual for helping me deal with the website and keeping that up and everything. I feel like I might be missing someone and that's very uncomfortable. No, I think that's everything. thanks to my parents. You know, it's the new year, so fine. Thanks to my parents. Thanks to Sarah from Lions Room Supply for meeting me on Sunday. Thanks to the listeners for listening to me drone on for a year, if not more. I'm pretty sure I've almost been on for a year.
It's almost been a year, but I don't think you joined until about February.
Okay, so you guys got
January, February.
Yeah. Till that starts.
Yeah. All right. Well, my shout outs to Etienne. He shared a story about how he moved on to a progressive press and he accidentally double charged the load. And I think it's a really good reminder that if you are going to use a progressive press, it's a very good idea to buy yourself some form of a powder check dye to make sure that you're not double charging or put no charge into a round. Because that things tend to happen like that when you're moving fast on the progressive. So a good reminder there. And again to SDA for finding me the Federal Small Pistol Primers, no less, on sale. You know, that's pretty awesome. I was very happy about that. And shout out to Sarah for being awesome and having a great Christmas with her. And I'd also like to give all the listeners a shout out for another great year of podcasting. It's been great interacting with everyone. All right.
Okay.
So until next time. No, wait, that's Thomas's line. I said it right in my head. I was going right through it. Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Good night, everyone, and a happy new year.
Good night, everyone. Happy new year.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.